Jay Mariotti here, and in some quirky, convoluted way, baseball's cheating scandal actually has brought interest to a sport that has grown increasingly irrelevant in American culture. Suddenly, another sleepy season has been awakened by a palpable, widespread hatred of the Houston Astros by opponents and fans alike, with the possibility now of new waves of people watching games only to see beanballs flying at heads and bodies and brawls breaking out on fields. If every theater needs a new set of villains, baseball certainly has the most evil scoundrels of the new millennium, and all that's lacking now is an octagon and a Dana White sighting. And look at who's entering the madness with a contrarian view. That would be David Ortiz, who last summer nearly died in a drive-by shooting and once appeared, this is important, on a list of MLB steroids users, ripping the brave whistleblower Mike Fiers as a snitch for exposing the Astros. This is not a good look for Big Poppy, a Red Sox legend and Fox Sports analyst whose team already has been penalized, the Red Sox, for illegally using Apple Watches in the dugout in 2018. And now the Red Sox are awaiting the verdict on an ongoing MLB investigation. Why are you going here, Big Poppy?
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? So they stopped that. So all this thing that is going on right now, it's not out there because it's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while. And you don't want that.
The baseball scandal has generated more outrage than even the political scandals in this country. A reflection on the wretched reality that cheating does pay off in today's world, now more than ever, in all walks of life. I realize that the weak-ass Commissioner Rob Manfred has warned 29 other managers of consequences for retaliation with a baseball, a lethal weapon, by the way. But as we've seen the last 2 weeks, nobody respects Manfred, including the players who have aimed verbal fastballs at his head for refusing to punish Astros players, not vacating their 2017 World Series title, and not responding after the wishy-washy attempt of owner Jim Crane and his players to apologize publicly for their role in the electronic sign-stealing scheme. Because Manfred is the worst commissioner I've seen in my years of covering sports, and that's a hell of a statement, there is no chance he prevents this season from becoming an Astros against the world debacle, a drama in every city, including opposing fans who could turn ballparks into riot zones when Houston is in town. We've heard verbal attacks on Manfred and the Astros from the likes of Mike Trout, hardly a controversial guy, Cody Bellinger, Justin Turner, Aaron Judge, and Trevor Bauer. And fortunately, the Astros and Dodgers do not play this season, avoiding episodes at Dodger Stadium where fans would be out for blood, feeling they were cheated out of that 2017 trophy that Manfred referred to, unfortunately, as a, quote, piece of metal, unquote. But the most troubling comment came from Atlanta's Nick Markakis, of all people. He said this.
To see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers.
Look, what the Astros did was reprehensible, and the same might be said for the Red Sox and numerous other teams. Manfred will not be investigating because he's involved in a cover-up. I say it every podcast, and it continues to be true. He is unethically trying to perform damage control for his crisis-ridden sport instead of aiming to punish all the cheaters. Investigating all the cheaters, even as the Yankees, who were fined, remember, for electronic cheating in 2018, and the Dodgers, who have been accused themselves of cheating, paint themselves as holier-than-thou, lily-white victims as they continue to trash the Astros every day. But Houston, and I must say this, has been given new life with a new manager, a new general manager, and the same owner and the same players, a very talented team, and disgusting as this sounds, the Astros easily could win another World Series in their season of shame. As outfielder Josh Reddick said, and I'm quoting, at some point, you have to move on and not give a shit. We're going to go out there and win and shut everybody up, unquote. And manager Dusty Baker, hired to gloss over the scandal with dismissive good times quips, that's Dusty, dared Markakis to bring the meetings.
Dusty, this morning at Braves camp, Nick Markakis, he said that the guys over here deserve a beating for what went on. What do you have, any thoughts on those comments?
Cool. No, I ain't commenting on everybody's comments, you know, so go ahead. You want to beat on us? Go ahead. I didn't think Markakis talked too much.
Yeah, this morning?
He doesn't. No. Okay, well, maybe he had his Wheaties in him.
The Astros can go one of two ways in 2020, either rally around the hatred or implode. A cheating drama is nothing new in American sports, as we've seen with the lying and cheating Patriots and ongoing scandals that relentlessly continue to cloud the athletic world. But with growing labor tensions threatening baseball's very existence, nightly reminders of the sport's endless chaos bring even more dark clouds for the future, and as I've been saying, a likely work stoppage after the 2021 season. For now, all eyes are on the Astros' first Grapefruit League game this Saturday night against the reigning champion Washington Nationals. Yes, the team that beat the Astros in the World Series by changing their signs. Duh. Well, the Nationals play the vigilante role this weekend. Can't wait to see what I'm talking about? Interest in preseason games. By the way, the Cheaters will play the Champions at the facility they share in West Palm Beach, which is only a few miles away from, that's right, Mar-a-Lago, home base of you-know-who.
Welcome to Unmuted with Jay Mariotti,
the podcast devoted to making sports talk great again.
Few have made more impact in sports media than Jay, and certainly no one has been called more names. Some actually true.
Fuck you!
He's the fiercely independent lightning rod who has produced massive ratings for ESPN's Around the Horn, made powerful waves as a national and major market talk host, and ruled Chicago as a columnist for 17 years.
For 17 years.
Unmuted is a topical whirlwind that doesn't stop until all the news is analyzed. So here he is, back from his day job in Hollywood.
Back from his day job in Hollywood.
For the next half hour or so. Or maybe 40 minutes, depending on the Lakers, Raiders, Trump, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s latest mood swing. The one, the only, Jay Mariotti.
Baseball's problems represent the very antithesis of the gleaming, ever-prosperous National Football League, which is about to hit another massive jackpot as a collective bargaining agreement is finalized. Just 3 years after looking like a league endangered between the CTE crisis, the Colin Kaepernick protests, and the blunders of Commissioner Roger Goodell, the NFL is positioned for unprecedented media revenues with what is expected to be a 17-game regular season and an expanded playoff system featuring two more teams, one from each conference, and you would have six games on wildcard weekend with only the two number one seeds getting byes. That's right, the 17-game season is coming. And I must say this, it's hypocritical, 17 games, when the NFL claims it's concerned about player safety. The additional week, after all, only creates more opportunities for injuries and concussions. But the players are getting a bigger piece of the revenue pie. That's why they're going to accept this. In all likelihood, that piece will be 48.5% reportedly, up from 47% if they agree to the 17 games, an additional $5 billion for the players. Now, some would argue the players deserve 50% of that pie. Richard Sherman is among them. He's an outspoken critic of the extra game. But the NFL wisely is agreeing to increased roster sizes. You're going to have to with 17 games, as well as increased pensions for both current and past players. So Goodell is actually playing an even, fair, square game with the players, and players are accepting it because Goodell and the owners know riches await them with the broadcast and streaming rights fees. Thus, it appears the NFL will have 10 more years of labor peace, all that matters in the big picture. And that, of course, is so very important to the networks and those new streaming companies that will pay the mammoth fees. That means more than 40 years will have passed since the last season, 1987, in which games were lost due to a strike, meaning the embattled Goodell, the most hated man in sports for years, has done his job for the owners. You cannot deny it. They gave him a $200 million extension loaded with incentives. I think he's going to meet most of those. Football always will have its issues and crises, of course, but as long as there are gamblers and bookies, legal and otherwise, to take those bets, the NFL is entrenched in American culture as the ultimate sports thrill, confined to once-a-week drama on Sundays. I mean, I know they play on Thursdays and Mondays, but it's a once-a-week drama for each team over 21 weekends from September to February. You're not playing every night. You're not playing every other night. You're now just going to have 17 games. They all have a certain weight, unlike MLB and the NBA and the NHL. Football has the right format to make it all work in the year 2020. So Roger Goodell has survived his storms, and the NFL remains king, continuing a three-decade transformation in which it not only eclipsed baseball as America's leading sport, but completely blew baseball out of the water. So should Rob Manfred be fired right now as the MLB commissioner? I would say yes, definitely, except for one problem. Who the hell would take the job, and who on this earth is remotely capable of saving this wrecked ship? Baseball has more than an Astros integrity crisis. Baseball also has an impending labor crisis, a juicing and dejuicing the baseball crisis, a pace of play, length of games crisis, a relevance crisis with anybody under age 50, an algorithmic crisis with too many Ivy Leaguers and tech geeks running front offices, a Red Sox Mookie Betts crisis, and a killing the minor leagues crisis. You got all that? Manfred is ill-fit to fix any of those problems, much less all of them, and he will be front and center, the hard-line lawyer, the wrong guy, during labor talks that could self-sabotage this sport once and for all. If there is a work stoppage after the 2021 season, will anybody care anymore? And will anybody come back to watch if they do come back to play? Recalling how baseball struggled for several years after the last work stoppage, needing the home run derby of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, another cheating scandal, to revive interest. Right now, America is aghast that the Astros players received no punishment, including LeBron James, who went apoplectic on social media, calling out the Astros and Manfred. And I'm quoting LeBron, quote, "Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would, could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner," this is LeBron James, "listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc., about this. Literally, the ball is in your court. Or should I say field? Doesn't matter, LeBron. And you need to fix this for the sake of sports!" Exclamation point! End quote. LeBron James, social media. Rob Manfred, I don't know how he gets up in the morning. And Phillies manager Joe Girardi put it best when he said the absence of player penalties only creates more incentive to continue to cheat.
You know, I don't know. You know, there's some people that lost their jobs that, you know, really were the people that had to pay for it, but there were a lot more people involved. And, you know, the financial gains for the players are substantial if they have big seasons because of this. So if there's no punishment for them, I'm not sure that it stops. I'm really not sure, because the financial gains, similar to the steroid era, it's very similar. Like, if you know what's coming and you have a big year and you're a free agent, there's a lot to be made there, and players want to take care of the family. So I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is, but I don't know how much of a deterrent it is for players right now.
Hell, Giancarlo Stanton said he could hit 80 home runs if he knew which pitch was coming. But know this too, Manfred is not the only villain here. Yes, he is so cowardly for not using his best interest of the game powers, he has those, to circumvent a clause in the collective bargaining agreement that protects players from punishment in a confidence scandal and says only management personnel can be punished, hence the firings of general manager Jeff Lunau, manager AJ Hinch, and perpetrators Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. And it's interesting that a survey had many GMs admitting they wouldn't know if their teams were cheating or not, though the Dodgers' Andrew Friedman acknowledged, thankfully, that, quote, it's a failure to manage on my part if I don't know, unquote. I understand all of that, okay? But shame on the union anyway. The Almighty Players Association, for making such a contractual demand that the players won't be punished when they're cheating the game. Why did the owners agree to that? Oh, because they want that collective bargaining agreement. They need that money. That's why. You don't agree to clauses such as that. And Manfred should have challenged it and taken it to the Supreme Court. Instead, he folded. Yeah, I'll get rid of Lunau and Hinch and Cora and Beltran, and well, players will just, you know, go on and make their big money. That's why LeBron's mad. That's why everybody is upset. Manfred backpedaled on this issue because he's clearly fearful of a work stoppage in 2021. So he ceded to the Astros players. But in the process, all he did was piss off all the other players in baseball. Did he have to back down so feebly when Union Chief Tony Clark said he wouldn't make the Astros players available for interviews unless they were granted the immunity as stated in the CBA? Manfred should have gone to war with him. People would have been behind Manfred. Instead, here was Tony Clark, who finds himself in the difficult position of representing Astros players as well as the opponents who loathe the Astros.
Tony, would players have cooperated with the investigation without immunity?
The start of that conversation mm-hmm. was such that, and we keep talking about immunity, but there were no grounds to discipline players before the conversation ever started.
Right. But you had to, once this came out, you had to prepare for the possibility that MLB might not offer immunity.
We believe that the rules that were in place, independent of that, meant that right. players weren't going to be disciplined. As a matter of fact, the language suggests that only club and club personnel can be disciplined mm-hmm. for whatever it is that a player may have done. So that's how the conversation started. So the bit about immunity, I know it's gotten a lot of play, but the conversation began with the position that players couldn't be disciplined, which was then followed up with the first call that was had, suggesting that players, there was no intention to discipline players.
So in your view, immunity wasn't offered. It was written into the regs prior to the scandal.
It was confirming what was already in place.
And Manfred looked even worse when, in trying to justify why Houston's 2017 World Series title wasn't vacated, he referred to that trophy, the commissioner's trophy, by the way, as a, quote, piece of metal, unquote. After being ripped by the Dodgers' Justin Turner, Manfred issued a mea culpa.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake. at least during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
His apology only underlines his ineptness as baseball prepares for a season of bean brawls and mayhem in ballparks, such as that fan the other day who went to the Astros facility and spent hours banging a trash can and shouting "cheater" at players such as Jose Altuve. Manfred sounds tired already. Imagine his mental condition in 20 months when the sport is teetering on a breakdown. For now, with Hinch's reputation in ruins, even though he tried to stop the trash can banging and destroyed TV monitors, and with Cora and Beltran fired as managers, even though they were players during the scandal, the Astros carry on and try to win a World Series. God, this sucks. And baseball stands to benefit from the bad guy's pariah's theme anyway, in spite of itself, with the very gambling mechanism once condemned by the sport but now embraced by Manfred, actually setting its own betting lines for Astros plunkings. Alex Bregman is the odds-on favorite to be hit by a pitch first, followed by Altuve, Carlos Correa, and George Springer. And another sportsbook in Vegas set an over-under in the 2020 season at 83.5 Astros plunkings. That's about one every other game. I think we're going to have an over here. And you know how easy it would be for an unsavory gambler, by the way, to corral an enemy pitcher or two on the season's final weekend, say there may be 81 plunkings at that point, and say, "Hey, psst, I'll pay you guys if you hit 3 Astros." See how the game can be compromised by legal gambling, Rob Manfred. Another crisis in the house of crises for Rob Manfred. In due time, we're going to see a bunch of crazy showdowns. The Astros against the division rival A's and Mike Fiers, who blew the whistle on his former team and made the scandal public. That's coming up immediately in the regular season. And the Astros against the Yankees, who have been ripping the Astros despite their own cheating. And the presence, and this is important, of Gerrit Cole, who continues to claim, interestingly enough, that he saw no wrongdoing as an Astro during his years there, during the scandal. Couldn't that create problems in his own clubhouse? If he is a former Astro saying they didn't do anything wrong and his teammates are ripping the hell out of the Astros, just pointing that out. And then you've got the Astros against, let's see, Arizona's Trevor Bauer, Boston's Chris Sale, and Cleveland's Mike Clevenger, all of whom have suggested retaliation with the baseball. Meanwhile, Little League teams across America are banning Astros as nicknames. I don't have the heart to tell these kids that most of those nicknames out there, including Red Sox, Yankees, and God knows how many more, also are smudged in scandal. The significance of February 24, 2024, is certainly not lost on Vanessa Bryant, whose late husband wore jersey number 24 and late 13-year-old daughter wore jersey number 2. The memorial service for Kobe and Gianna comes Monday at Staples Center, the house Kobe built. And as we've reflected on this stunning tragedy in sports and American history, my most powerful thought involves mortality. When a man of Kobe Bryant's passion, purpose, and vitality can perish suddenly in a helicopter crash that could have been avoided, it reminds us to live each day as if it's our last, because it might be our last. Tickets for the memorial, which are limited to the public, are going for as much as $224. Again, the numbers 2 and 24, with proceeds going to the Bryant's youth sports charity, the Mamba and Mambacita Foundation. The Lakers resume the season Friday against the surprising Grizzlies, then Sunday against the Celtics, then Tuesday against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. And the most compelling sports story beyond the scandals, yes, an actual sports story, is whether LeBron and Anthony Davis can win a championship only months after the crash that killed Kobe Bryant. The NBA has had a difficult season. Bryant's death, the passing of the transformative Commissioner David Stern, the estimated $400 million in losses in the vital Chinese market after Daryl Morey's pro-Hong Kong tweet, and a ratings drop of 15%. But Silver knows that young people are not watching traditional broadcasts. They are watching streaming services, as Roger Goodell knows. And as usual, Silver thinks that he has a solution.
There are then some structural issues in the way our games are delivered, and it's something that we're working through with our media partners now. For example, it's well known that on one hand, we're celebrated by some because we have such a young fan base, but that young fan base is disconnecting from pay television in record numbers. And by disconnecting, not just simply not subscribing to cable or so-called cutting the cord, they're not watching traditional pay television the way they used to. They're watching over-the-top streaming services. They're watching screens, but it's not essentially pay TV. And so the good news for the league is that when we look at all other data points, particularly what we see in social media, what we see in terms of distribution of highlights and just the general chatter around our games, we've never been more popular. But we haven't found a way to connect those young fans to our broadcast through whatever platform they're going to be delivered. Again, I think it's a very solvable problem. It's our two primary media partners, Disney and AT&T, are both very engaged in those issues.
When Adam Silver says a problem is solvable, it's solvable. He is a commissioner I trust. Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, your thoughts on everything that Roger Goodell, the NFL owners, and football fans ever wanted. Reportedly a 17-game regular season and an expanded playoff season featuring two more teams with six games on wildcard weekend and only the number one seed in each conference getting a bye. What is there not to love? And Chris, doesn't this only reaffirm that football has overcome its numerous crises and remains the king of American sports?
Jay, the NFL is king, and they've proven it yet again. And again, it's the only sport where if you were to say, there's going to be an extra month of Major League Baseball, everyone would go, what? That's going to cut into football time. If everybody was to say, there's going to be another month of NBA basketball, you'd say, why? That's going to take us into July. Nobody needs that. Well, we got summer vacations. Everybody says there's going to be another month of the NFL. The last Sunday in February is going to be the Super Bowl. The only people that have an issue with that are the Oscars, because nobody's going to watch the Oscars. Everyone's going to be watching the Super Bowl. It's amazing. It's amazing that the NFL is going to do what no other sport can do. And they're actually, this is pro fans. 17 weeks, more playoff teams. How many Rams fans out there, how many Steelers fans would have liked this playoff structure last season? So I think it's a win. I don't think anybody really cares about the scandals as much as the only scandal that I really do believe impacted the NFL and viewership was players kneeling, okay? Players bringing politics into a game that nobody wants politics in, and that's really it. As much as it's sad, as much as we may watch documentaries and movies about CTE and concussions, when it comes Sunday, nobody really cares, Jay. And that's what the NFL knows and is now going to profit from. Even more.
And Chris, the Astros either will thrive this season as baseball pariahs or implode. In your opinion, which would be, keeping in mind that the beanballs could start as soon as this weekend?
Here's the one thing. I mean, how long can beanballs really start flying? I mean, you probably will see that the first few weeks, but then at some point, you just got to play baseball, right? And the Astros are a really good team. Even if they had signs, they still were a good team. Just like Barry Bonds was always a great baseball player, Hall of Fame baseball player, the steroids put him over the edge. So I think the Astros will be fine once they get past the first few weeks of the season. And then nobody really is going to care. We're all paying attention right now. There's a lull. Okay, the NBA All-Star break helps there be a lull. There's no football. There's no actual games to talk about. I think everything should be fine. And most people will probably go back to not caring about Major League Baseball.
And Chris, you work at the ESPN station across the street from Staples Center. Will you be attending the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service? And what are you expecting Monday morning?
I won't be attending. I'll be in my office in Orange County watching and working on special programming efforts for the memorial. But this is what everybody wants. This is will be a wonderful event, another way for us to memorialize and pay tribute to Kobe and Gianna. And after this, I think we move on, and a lot of people will move on. And we'll just wait for the statue and the Hall of Fame ceremony and all the things to come for the memory of Kobe Bryant.
Okay, thanks, Chris, which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. Interesting how Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco himself, is among those urging Joe Burrow to give Cincinnati and the bumbling Bengals organization a chance. Johnson will be having dinner with Burrow before the draft to let him know, quote, that bleeping city rocks and everybody will love you, unquote. But look, if I'm Burrow and I want to win a championship as I did at LSU, I'm listening way more closely to Carson Palmer, who's quarterbacking career lacked titles because he played for those bleeping Bengals. John Elway forced a trade once upon a time from Baltimore to Denver. Eli Manning forced a trade from San Diego to the Giants. And I think Burrow, even though I generally don't like the practice of wussing out, would be best avoiding a career of vast disappointment and demanding a trade anywhere but Cincinnati. Well, maybe not anywhere, but how about Miami, where the Dolphins owner Steve Ross loves Joe Burrow? Everybody loves Joe Burrow. How about Bill Belichick? Is that doable? No. NASCAR is celebrating that Ryan Newman walked out of the hospital only 2 days after the fiery, frightening crash that sent him airborne at the close of the Daytona 500. How about asking why this death sport allows reckless blocking and bumping at the end of a race? The chain reaction crash was caused when Ryan Blaney, Newman's Ford partner, pushed Newman into the lead, but when the eventual race winner Denny Hamlin gave Blaney a huge shove, Blaney's car started to wobble, and when Newman tried to block the move, he got hit by Blaney, and you saw what happened. NASCAR fans argue this is a common strategy in the sport. You know what? Next time, the victim might not be lucky enough to live, okay? The International Olympic Committee says the Summer Olympics will proceed as scheduled in Tokyo, even as respected Japanese virologists say the games couldn't be held if they started right now because of the coronavirus. The IOC is being pressured, of course, by sponsors and broadcast networks such as NBC that have invested billions in these games, but it's not as simple as an IOC declaration. These guys think they're gods, but they aren't. The longer the virus continues to spread, the athletes and their families grow more concerned. Already, some teams have pulled out of training camps in Japan, and dozens of sports events have been called off in Asia. If this situation doesn't improve quickly and dramatically, the IOC won't have a decision to make. The athletes simply will not show up, nor will the fans. ESPN is returning to a two-man booth on Sunday Night Baseball. The capable and hip Matt Vasgersian teamed with the vastly overrated and often empty-headed Alex Rodriguez. Jessica Mendoza is out on Sunday nights, again, not because she's female, but because, in my view, she was too analytical and saddled with a conflict of interest with her role as a Mets advisor, which led to her unfortunate criticism of Mike Fiers when he exposed the Astros and the since-deposed Mets manager Carlos Beltran in that sign-stealing scandal. Does ESPN realize that A-Rod is trying to buy the Mets? And if he does, they have to dump him immediately from the broadcast? Do they know that could happen? I don't know, in the next few weeks? And Tim Tebow refuses to give up, returning at age 32 for yet another minor league season in the Mets organization in hopes of a September call-up to New York. I love Tebow, always have, but his AAA slash line last season was 163, 240, 255, with four homers and 19 RBI in 77 games before injuries derailed him. Tebow, once an avowed virgin, is a married man now. He does foundation work around the world, and he's in the media spotlight as an ESPN football analyst. His baseball experiment has been admirable, but it's time to move on, Tim. Maybe Tebow should have given the XFL a shot. As TV ratings wane for Vince McMahon's new football league, it has become apparent the games suffer from subpar quarterbacking play. As it is, about one-third of the NFL franchises have quarterback issues, so the trickle-down effect has the likes of Brandon Silvers and Matt McGloin throwing multiple interceptions, with McGloin ripping the head coach's play calling before he was benched the other day. Football fans want points, but XFL teams are averaging only 17 points a game, in part because teams are leaving points on the board after touchdowns. This league eliminated kicking options after TDs, requiring teams to either go for 1 point from the 2-yard line, 2 points from the 5, or 3 points from the 10. But so far, teams are only 7-for-23 on 1-point tries, that's 2 yards, and 4-for-14 on 2-point tries. Hell, the Tampa Bay Vipers have yet to even score a touchdown. And my kind of guy, the ever-blunt golf analyst, Peter Costas, went scorched earth on CBS and the PGA after his firing from the network, saying the tour told CBS to, quote, get younger, unquote, he's 73, and that it wants, quote, more cheerleaders than analysts, unquote. This is the problem with sports media today, voices being controlled by the leagues and the franchises we are supposed to be covering. And Costas put it well when he said, and I'm quoting, no one in management of a network or at the leadership of the PGA Tour gives a rat's ass about the quality of the telecast. They don't care about the quality of the viewer experience. They don't care about anything other than promotion. They're interested in marketing the product. End quote. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, they're not thinking about you, the viewer, one bit. Peter Costas is right, and he joins Bob Costas, no relation, among the ranks of the unemployed. Actually, Bob works for the baseball network, the MLB network, but NBC got rid of the greatest broadcaster of my time because he happened to voice some views they didn't like, so they hired the puppet Mike Tirico. As if white-collar crime already wasn't an American epidemic, expect even more misdeeds from rich creeps out there after this week's presidential pardons. Among those granted clemency by President Trump was former San Francisco 49ers owner Eddie DeBartolo Jr., whose 1998 conviction on concealing an extortion attempt was wiped away by Judge Trump. Admittedly swayed by letters from Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, who became Hall of Fame greats amid DeBartolo's player-friendly culture, Trump evidently doesn't care that Eddie D, as he's known, paid a $400,000 bribe to the Louisiana governor at the time for a casino project. While DeBartolo has paid a steep price, he was suspended a year by the NFL, paid a $1 million fine, and gave up the franchise to his sister. It was important in today's lying and cheating culture for DeBartolo's conviction to stick. That way, other owners in sports with criminal ideas are deterred, right? But Donald Trump is smelling a second term, so right now he's collecting friends and supporters, regardless of the shady optics and poisonous message about one percenter criminal privilege. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never ever let anybody mute you in life.
World Series Grills. World Series Grills. World Series Grills. World Series Grills. World Series grills.
Let go.
World Series grills. World Series grills. We finally got our World Series grills. World Series grills. We finally got our World Series grills.
55 years, it's a long ride.
Long ride.
We in MNA Park, baby, going live.
We going live.
Cut double like Correa, time to pull the Sprite.
Pull up the Sprite.
Grind hard, money long, like Game 5.
Game 5.
Dallas Keuchel on the hill. World Series grills. Swinging, coming round the corner like Altuve on a steal.
Still.
Morton got to seal the deal.
Deal.
Bregman, how you feel?
Feel?
It's the Houston strong. Astros always trip.
Always trip.
Spring a dinger out the park, MVP.